Dr. Brioff has a very interesting way of working. He never dictates his books into shorthand. Both his secretary and I have been trained to take his dictation right down onto the typewriter, which gives him immediately a copy for correction. And even today, he now has been chairman of the responsive committee of the Central Conference of American Rabbis, and is still chairman, and gets questions from rabbis from all over the country and from abroad on Jewish law. And these he has to study at home because he has his great library at home. And after he has his notes collected, then he will dictate them to me on the typewriter, a rough copy, and then he corrects and his secretary puts it into good form and so forth. So I have had the pleasure of doing that work with him all the time. I also, you then asked about our traveling, and I went off onto a little tangent. When Dr. Brioff was he was president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis, and has been president, the first American president of the World Union for Progressive Judaism. He is now the honorary president of that organization. Before he became president of the World Union, however, we began to travel to Europe. I have been a very lucky person. I've had 13 trips to Europe, 3 trips to Israel, and 1 trip to South Africa and Rhodesia. And when Dr. Brioff went to South Africa, he went as president of the World Union. And in the short space of the month that we were in South Africa and Rhodesia, he gave 45 lectures, and those were full-length, full-scale lectures, not just little talks. He gave 45 lectures, and I gave 24 talks. I don't presume to call them lectures, but talks to the sisterhoods. I thought I was going to be talking to 3 or 4 or 5 women in little groups here or there. And it turned into 24 real talks because their sisterhoods are well established there. They wanted to know about Braille. They wanted to know about the youth work that our sisterhoods do and about my writings. And they wanted primarily this inspiriting that Dr. Brioff and I were able to give them about the strength of Reformed Judaism in America. And that is what we tried to emphasize so much to them. Now, I talked also in this country quite a bit on Braille and on ethics and youth work and for the National Federation of Temple Sisterhoods and in our own school here. But the talking I did was not as important, I felt, as my writing. I always rather wanted the time more for the writing than I did for the talking. But I had certain obligations to the national and to the state when I was on those boards to do that lecturing for them. We had a tremendous experience in South Africa and Rhodesia, wherever we went. Those are small and battered communities because Orthodoxy is so very strong in South Africa. One experience that had nothing to do with Judaism was of interest to me. I was always tremendously interested in dancing. As I told you earlier, I had studied dancing, did a great deal of dancing all of my life, until I married a rabbi, and then we didn't do much. Undoubtedly, I never was a dancer. But in South Africa, on Sundays, when the mines were closed, they used to have native dancing on Sundays. The Sunday we were to go, it rained, and they made me dance on those Sundays when it rained. The following Sunday, Dr. Brioff and I went to Pretoria, and he lectured at the banquet that Saturday evening. He was to go back to Johannesburg the next morning. I was to stay overnight and speak to the sisterhood on Sunday morning. So I stayed and spoke to the sisterhood. He went back to Johannesburg and saw the native dancers. And I always regretted that so that I never got to see those wonderful native dancers. Also, while we were in South Africa, Some friends had taken us for a little rest period to the Kruger National Forest, and that was fascinating. There we saw animals of all kinds except lions. We didn't see a lion, and that disturbed Dr. Pratt that I hadn't seen a lion. He loves animals. I could care less, but he loves animals. And so when we got to Pretoria, we were told there was a wonderful zoo there. We went to the zoo, and we saw a lady lion, but that didn't satisfy him because we had not yet seen a male lion. So when we got back to New York, the first thing we had to do was go to the zoo so I could see a male lion. So we saw a male lion. Our trips to Israel were very interesting. The first time we went, Dr. Freehoff's father had gone to Israel to live, and he married there, his second wife, and then he needed an operation. And to Father Freehoff, there were no surgeons elsewhere in the world except Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. So he and his wife came back to Baltimore for this operation, which was fine, and they then stayed. And he lived to be 100 years old minus a month, and his mind was keen to the end, and he was always a great delight. His wife died just 2 years ago. Then the second time we went to Israel, it was just for our own pleasure. But the third time we went because Dr. Freehoff was to dedicate the branch of the Hebrew Union College in Jerusalem. And that was a very interesting trip. We didn't stay throughout the entire festivities because we wanted to be home for Passover at that time. But that just about. And the other trips that we had to Europe were pleasure trips, except for after he was president of the World Union, then he did a great deal of speaking in Paris and in London and in Amsterdam. Not in Italy. We had no congregations in Italy. And Germany, of course, you realize, was depleted of congregations at that time. Rabbi Jacob was in Germany this summer, and he tells us that the congregations are now being reestablished in Germany.
I would like very much, Mrs. Freehoff, for you to contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh when you first came here, and talk about it from a sociological, cultural, political aspect, and even changes that you've noticed in the Jewish community.
Well, of course, when I first came here, as I mentioned earlier, ours was the only Reform congregation in the city. Rhoda Sholem was the only in the western Pennsylvania area. Most everything that had been established, the Dusky Home, the charities, all of those activities had been established by the members of Rhoda Sholem Temple. They were primary in everything in those days. Now, I'm happy to say that they are still vitally interested in everything in the community and very active. But the other congregations have now come forward, and it is very heartening to see that many of the workers in the United Jewish Federation and the women's groups are from those congregations as well. That has been a very important change, I think. Politically, of course, when I first came here, we had a fiddling mayor. I can't think of his name for a moment, but he played the violin, and he was not too interested in the city of Pittsburgh. His name is not important. But Mayor Lawrence, the Democrat, took over very strongly after a very short time, and it had become a strong Democratic hold with Mayor Lawrence, who then went on to become Governor Lawrence. And after him, the mayors who have all been Democrats. They are hoping tomorrow the Republicans to shift to some Republican strong points. We don't know what's going to happen yet. But politically, it has been a Democratic stronghold always. I believe that in this small city, we are small compared to many cities in the country, it has had a cohesive Jewish population. We're a small Jewish population in comparison to the numbers of the community, but it has always been a vital community. It has participated in everything. It has done its share wherever it should have done it. And men, women, and the children, it's been a vital community, a live community. And it continues, it grows constantly. Now, of course, in recent days, and not recent days, but in recent years, the interest in Israel has grown and has shown itself in many aspects of the community work. The Save Soviet Jewry in the last couple of years has been a strong effort in this community, too. But Israel has come forward. You have to remember that in the early days of Reform, Zionism was not strong in the Reform movement. It became strong later. Since that time, there are very few Jews today who do not have some kind of allegiance or some kind of strong feeling for Israel, whether it's an allegiance or not. You applaud what the small state is doing for the downtrodden peoples of Europe and of Asia. They have that little country with its many, many problems has nevertheless gone into some of the third world countries, the black countries, and helped them tremendously in technology and whatnot. And when you realize that they could have spent all of their efforts in their own country and yet give so much of themselves to other peoples, it's just a marvelous thing. And so you see that in Pittsburgh too, the great growth interest in Israel. I won't say in Zionism as much as the interest in Israel as such, as a country, and as an allegiance that we have, no matter how strongly American we are. We can be both. We can be strong Americans and still have a strong allegiance to Israel. There is no reason why we can't. I think our women's groups have become strong, very much stronger. I've been a member of virtually every women's group in the city since I came here, and each one has grown strong and vital. The National Council for Jewish Women has been a tremendous force in the community. I single that out since this work is being done under them, but the National Council was strong when I came here, but has grown even stronger.